running, we go through stuff really. You know what's so funny? We go through stuff and we don't recognize God's hand in it if it's negative. So as we've been walking through these fruits of the Spirit, you know, I told you several weeks back, I don't have time to sin, because you really don't have time to sin if you really want the fruits of the Spirit to grow in you, because your concentration is on what He's doing and who He is, not on what, you know, the dumb things you do. What's so funny is when you have tough times, this has made it more aware. In fact, I'm just glad this week is on what we'll call self-control. It's the word temperance. And when you see what the word means, you're going to see it really has nothing to do with self-control, though that's the way we could translate it. But the irony is, here's what's really good for me. Now, next week, and this is kind of ironic too, this was not planned out at all. I started this series on sanctification, justification, glorification. This will be week 16, if you will. Yeah, wow. And so next week, I remember I skipped love, because love is the key to all of the fruits of the Spirit. If we don't have that fruit of the Spirit, nothing else will happen. But what's cool for me is it has been sandwiched by this word self-control. And as I studied it out, the cool thing is I got some revelation prior to me being hammered with some stuff in life. For those of you who don't know, Charity lost her child actually on Wednesday. And that was part of the stuff that I was dealing with in life. But the cool thing is, when you can incorporate the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus in you, by the way. When I say Holy Spirit, it's Jesus. He's in you. When you incorporate that into stuff that happens in your life, it's amazing that you can get perspective. So here's the scripture. We've been down all these. Lord have me. I thought joy was tough. Holy smoke. By the time I got to gentleness, I was meek. But the Holy Spirit, again, the Holy Spirit produces, not us, this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, again, we'll do that next week. Oh, the irony, I was going to say. Next week will be 27 years since Gay and I came to the church. And the very first sermon I taught was a sermon that I told the people that if there was one sermon I could teach that would only be the only thing I ever taught, and it was on love. And that's just ironic to me, because like I said, I didn't go 16 weeks ago and start going, okay, how, you know, who has time for that, right? That is way too organized for me. So the Holy Spirit produces these kinds of fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and thank God we're at the end, right? Ekrateia, if you want to pronounce it, it doesn't really matter. Here's what's really cool about this word. Here's what this word means. It means the quality or the virtue. The quality or virtue of the one who masters desires and passions. It's the quality or virtue of one who masters desires and passions. The word is extremely clear. The Apostle Paul hammered it throughout all the word. We cannot control our desires and our passions, right? So this word means the quality of the virtue, or the quality of virtue of the one who can master desires and passions. So by definition, self-control fruit is Holy Spirit control. You get it? Because we really can't do it. And if you think you can do it, that's where you get messed up. So self-control fruit is a result of the Holy Spirit, not a product of hard work or self-improvement. It never works. I've told y'all for years, to be funny, I've actually gotten better as I am allowing this fruit to grow in me. But for years, I tell people, man, I lost 100 pounds last year. They're like, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. I lost 10, gained 10, lost 10, gained 10, lost 10, gained 10. I did it 10 times. That's 100 pounds. Yeah, I know I weigh the same. You get it. Because that's what self-control does. I don't care how much keto you do. You get it. Self-control is about Him. It's Holy Spirit control. So every time you see this now, I want you to think gentleness and Holy Spirit control. Because here's what I love about the sandwich. You start with love, where you can't do anything. Without love, you can't have joy, peace, patience. And then at the end, He ends it with, and you won't be able to do all the. And here's the fun part for me. As we walked through all those, the patience one, and I would share stories of what happened. You know, the dude doing donuts in the stupid parking lot. You remember all that? But here's what's really cool. Incorporated in that was self-control. I didn't even know why, because it's Holy Spirit control. It's when we allow the Holy Spirit to really do what He does in us. And to be really honest with you, sanctification, you can say right there, those two scriptures is where your sanctification lies. It's your holiness lies in those things right there. That's it. Oh, it's difficult. Yeah, sorry. I'm getting a little excited here. So, Holy Spirit control is not self-discipline. Self-discipline's good, don't get me wrong, I get it, man. You know, like, one of the most disciplined religions is Buddha. You know, Buddha. I mean, there's good, self-discipline is good, but watch. But it's motivated to achieve a goal. We do this with God all the time. We're motivated to achieve some kind of goal to make Him happy with us. So self-discipline is good, but it's to achieve a goal. Self-control, or Holy Spirit control, is motivated by our love for Christ. And we will not have a really deep love for Christ until we allow Him to love us. It's just so bizarre. I never loved Him like I thought I could love Him because I didn't let Him love me. That's just really the truth, because I didn't deserve His love. And then finally, when I started understanding the justification of what He did for me on the cross, I started receiving His love. And when I started receiving His love, then that allowed my ground that was so hard to be fertile. So this word, this is what I love about God. This word, egocrit, how you say it, whatever, the word for self-control. Here's what it literally means. Watch this. Strength to stay in place. Now, I grabbed that before all heaven broke loose, and this week has been crazy for us. In my family's life, in how I serve my community's life, in our church life, every aspect, you know where the word says, well, it's even in Galatians, the same chapter, where he says, don't get weary in well-doing. And it's not so much that, it's just all heck broke loose, all at the same time, but by the grace of God, I had already reached this point. So here's how Steve dealt with it. I wrote this thing, and I actually saved it on my computer, and it said, personal, very personal. And I threw up on this paper of everything in my life that was going haywire, if you will, all aspects of you, any point of my life, whether that was the way I was eating, with the stuff with my family, the stuff with my city, the stuff with our church, all, and I wrote it all out, and then at the bottom of it, I put, I get it. You can stop now. And I kept it for a couple of days, and then I erased it today because I wouldn't hate anybody to see it. Just so you know. So it is now probably in somebody's cloud, and they're going, who is this? So watch this. So it means strength to stay in place, to get hold of, to get a grip on. Until we allow that to happen in us, the Holy Spirit. Look, be honest. We can't do it. We can't do it. I can fast, and man, I can't tell you the times that I've fasted for God when the truth is I was just on a hunger strike. I was like, okay, well, is it coming? I'm going to fast now, so now you got to do something there. You get what I'm saying? So this whole thing about the Holy Spirit is just incredible to me, how every one of those fruits is incorporated in Holy Spirit control, which is this self-control, which is the word eklo, whatever it's called. But watch this. Again, it's not just curbing a bad habit. It's the Spirit working in us. Here's what Paul said to the Romans. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. I go back to what I said. I don't have time to sin now. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Why? It will eat you up. You get angry. You're bitter at somebody. You hate them. They deserve to die. Look, this isn't just about having sex outside of marriage or struggling with drugs here. You know, because immediately when you, when I say the word recovery, immediately those who are on drugs go, I get recovery. Well, this is totally, totally beyond that. So those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about the, please, in verse 6, so letting your spirit control your mind leads to death, but letting the spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. We've discussed peace and we've got life, and that's what's really cool about it. So here's the problem. We think by not doing something will be acceptable to God. Watch this. Legalism is the rule. Legalism is a rule created to keep appetites and desires in check. That's what legalism is. That's the whole purpose of the law, the Bible says, was to show us how bad we are so that we would see the necessity of having someone to save us, because I promise you, if you don't think you're drowning, you're going to drown and no Savior's going to come. You get it. So this legalism is a rule created to keep our appetites and our desires in check. Did you ever, I know you was post office, did you ever like walk to do the things and dogs chase or anything? Did you ever do that? The old post office, nobody? Anyway, who? Oh, you did? You did post office? That's awesome. Well, then you'll understand what I'm fixing to say. Maddie's out and she's delivering the mail and up runs this dog. And we'll just say it's a poodle because everybody hates the other ones, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we need to kill all them other dogs. Okay, well, we'll make this one a poodle. So this poodle runs up to her and just bites into her leg. She's got to go to the hospital, make sure she doesn't have rabies, blah, blah, blah. So the solution, the law solution is put a muzzle. So we put the muzzle on the poodle. So next time, poodle's not going to bite you. But the problem is poodle wants to bite you, but he's muzzled. That's what we do with God. And when we think we've got to live by some kind of law, of you don't do that and you don't do that, and you don't, okay, I can stop doing that. Self-control. That's a fruit of the Spirit. No, that's not. Fruit of the Spirit, self-control is, he doesn't muzzle, he replaces. That's what is the coolest thing. And again, as you go through Scripture, you'll see it very clearly. So, again, the dog won't bite him now because the muzzle, but he still wants to. So, again, the Holy Spirit doesn't muzzle, he replaces. Self-control fruit, the fruit of self-control, touches every area of our life by replacing, not by muzzling. Okay? And again, I keep calling this a sandwich because this is the first time I've ever seen it. That self-control, I don't think any of this is accident, the chronological order of all this. Because again, without love, and then without that other part of the sandwich, without self-control, that fruit of self-control, all the other ones aren't going to happen. The guy that's spinning donuts and I'm teaching to you about patience, little did I recognize that that's really also self-control. Because I didn't go out and put a bullet in their head or something. Well, that's probably a little dramatic. Break their arm. Put a bullet in their foot. Their tire. There you go. So here, now we're gonna walk through the Scripture because I want you to get this in your heart. This is in Ephesians. Love Ephesians, by the way. I need to teach this sometime. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature. Now, how do I throw it off? Because of that, see that instead that's capitalized? Watch this. Throw off your old nature and your former way of doing stuff, which is corrupt, corrupted by lust. And lust is not just sexual lust. Lust is wanting more money, wanting more friends. You get what I'm saying? And by deception. Instead, he says, let the Spirit renew. If you want to throw off, the Spirit must renew. Well, how do I get renewed on the Spirit? Man, you hang. You hang with them. You actually spend time with God, and you don't got to say nothing. I'm telling you right now, how cool is that? Wouldn't you love to have a conversation where you didn't have to say nothing? You don't. Just sit down and shut up. You'll be amazed. The most powerful times I've ever had in my prayer closet is when I'm just sitting there thinking about how the Dallas Cowboys lost the game. I'm telling you the truth. And then all of a sudden, something happens. So then I, whoa. Without saying a word, there's ministry that happens because he loves us. He loves us. So let's keep going here. So instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature. Create it. Put on literally means, I've told you what that word means. It means to sink into. Put on your new nature. Created to be like God. Oh, I can't be like God. Yes, you can, but only in him. You get it. Truly, so to put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Next. And then he just gives instructions. He makes it simple. So stop telling lies. So stop. See, here's what's so sad about most ministry that has happened over the years for me. This is where the sermon starts. You get what I'm saying? So I'm going to teach today on this. So we're going to start with talking about how much you lie. No. You got to go back and put it in context. What's he saying? Our nature's bad. His nature's good. Let him renew your mind. And then Paul gives instructions on how to do it. So stop telling lies. Let's tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all part of the same body. I told you last week, I told the lie. August the 15th was the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. I was 15 years old when that happened. And I told friends for years that I went to that. It's a big lie. But I wanted to be cool. But I will tell you something else that just kind of freaked me out. And you'll think this should freak you out too. That was the 50th year anniversary, right? Well, 7 years later, I got married. How can you believe that? Do the math. It's crazy. Seven years. Little did I know when I was doing, I wasn't there. I wasn't there, but I was there in spirit. Now watch, we love these, don't we? See, this is what's so ironic to me. He's not saying this to hammer folks. He's helping us. He's helping us understand. So we're going to let the Spirit's going to renew your mind and hear how it's going to happen. So stop lying. Be kind to your neighbor. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, because anger gives a foothold to the devil, and that foothold is called bitterness after about 3 weeks. So don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. How common sense is it? It's pretty sad he has to write this down on paper. You get what I'm saying? I mean, seriously. Because I just so you know, years ago we were putting together the church's policy manual. And in the policy manual, I had to put in the policy manual that all staff members will be in church service for the entire service. Because I had a guy that would do his part in the service and then go sit in his office. So here he is, the guy that's supposed to be, I mean, you're called to serve people. You got to be around the people, serve the people. Anyway, do you get what I'm saying? So this is funny to me. So he's like, I just love this. So if you're stealing, quit it. You thief? If you're a thief, quit stealing. And then he said, here's the instead. I didn't capitalize that, but I should have. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. I remember, some of y'all might remember Dick Mills. And he told me this story. It was hilarious. He told me this story of this kid, and this kid was dead serious with him and went up to him and said, Brother Mills, I don't understand. God's just not answering my prayer. And he said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, I've been praying hard that he'll prosper me and prosper me and prosper me. And he said, and all I've been doing is getting job offers. There, that might be his part in this. You get it? Wow. And it was serious. That's funny. So instead, put your hands in good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Now here we go. Don't cuss. Don't use foul or abusive language. He's not putting the hammer down a law. He's explaining here. Watch this. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live, goofball. I would have put goofball in there if I was writing it. Remember, this is so good. He has identified you as his own. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just got this mental picture when I was reading this. Who does he think he is? Oh, you mean Steve Van Zandt? Oh, you mean Ronnie Allen? He's mine. He's identified us. He's not ashamed of us. As much as you can be ashamed of yourself, he is not ashamed of you. He identifies you. Somebody stands up against you. The word says, I'll raise a flood up. I just vetted that scripture out, and it's pretty powerful. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the oppressor, it literally means, the oppressor comes in with his lies and his everything. I'll raise up a standard. I'll raise up, I'll be so powerful with my, I'm trying to think of exactly how it was worded, with my virtuous and powerful anger that he will not only be banished, but he'll flee on his own. See, so the enemy, he's an accuser. Hasatan's his name, and all he does is accuse, and God is saying, I identify. So when that enemy comes up to you, you're this and you're that, all you got to do is say, hey, Jesus, Jesus. And he'll say, yes, son, talk to him. And he'll go, oh, you're saying, who do you think you are? Well, that's Steve Van Zandt, and he's mine. Yeah, don't try to believe people when they say, oh my God, I think they're demon possessed. Let me tell you something. If you have Jesus in your heart, you can't be possessed by their possession. Yeah. Possession. There's oppression. I get it, man. The devil can knock you down, but you just so mad at him, you want him to be possessed. he identified you as his own. Watch this. Guaranteeing that you'll be saved at the day of redemption. So then he says, this is not ugly. Get rid of all your bitterness and rage and anger. Okay, how do I get rid of my bitterness and my rage and my anger? You don't understand, Steve. I'm so mad in my harsh words, and I said this, and my slanderous words. I can't stand them. And all these types of evil. So here's how he does it. Instead of being bitter, be kind. Of being rage, be kind. Of being angry, be kind. Of having harsh words, be kind. Of having slander, be kind. But I got all this bitterness. Be tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. Kind to each other. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. You'll never forgive one another until you understand that last part. As God through Christ has forgiven you. Until you honestly believe he's forgiven you like he's forgiven you, you'll never forgive anybody else. It's the truth. That's why I've told you a billion times. That's why the word is so clear. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so I have forgiven you. All your sins are for the east from the west, not the north and the south, because you start north, you'll start going south again. You go east, you'll always be going east. You go west, you'll always be going west. There was not an accident that the word says it that way. Those sins are completely and totally gone. You are completely and totally forgiven, and you completely and totally don't deserve it, but Jesus completely, totally did it for you. Because he loves you. And because he loves you, he will set you free. Amen. In all of these things. In fact, if you go to even the top of this chapter that we're on, he starts it with freedom. We're free. We're free. Now, do you see? If you're really trying to do this, just this part, forget all the other fruits. If you're trying to get rid of bitterness and be kind and be tenderhearted and love one another and forgive one another, do you understand how you don't have you? There's no time to fit sin in there. Just you don't have time for it. Well, that didn't turn out like I thought. I finished that. Okay, so, and then I wrote down here, do you see it? I hope so. It's not just stopping what we do. It's replacing our nature with the Holy Spirit's nature. To a lot of folks, being a Christian is being a don't. You get it? Well, how you doing this week? You know, how's Jesus in your heart? Man, I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do this. Praise God, I didn't do this. So you're a don't. Yeah. And that's not life, and that's not fruit. It's religious practice, and it leaves you empty. It's not about what you don't or what you do. It's about who you are and who you become. So I'm almost to my last point. I know you're crushed. Holy Spirit control, and again, self-control. I'm just saying Holy Spirit control because that's what the word, what the word means is the virtue of being able to control your passions. Read Romans chapter 7 and you'll understand how you got that in you. So obviously, this is talking about the virtue of Holy Spirit. You get it? Holy Spirit control, it is a choice. Self-control, fruit, doesn't mystically happen. It's not a miracle. No fruits of the Spirit are a miracle. Holy smoke, wouldn't that be cool? God, I just pray that you'll just give me, and you pick a fruit. Give me patience. Give me love. Give me. That don't work that way. It's a deliberate faith choice where we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can't produce it, but we are actively involved in it. Love, Timothy, read this. This is greatness right here. Look at the word, the Greek word. Don't waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales and deciding on how smart you are about the Bible. I just threw that in there just because it needs to be. Instead, I forgot the capital, instead, train. Now, that's actually pronounced gymnasia, but we can see gymnasium in it. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Well, that's bizarre. Physical training's good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So what in the world is he saying here? It literally means gymnastics. You see where we get the word gymnastics from. It means, and so he's telling us we should exercise our godliness. Now, guys, all of us in here, every single one of us to a person knows, fitness doesn't happen taking pills. Fitness doesn't happen doing one workout and too sore to go back the next day because you tried to catch up for 10 years of not doing anything. Oh, how many times I've prayed, Jesus, could I just drop my body off at the gym and pick it up when it's done? Yeah. So you get it. We understand, I have determined to get and stay healthy. So for the last 3 years, I do Tai Chi, and I walk a mile a day, and I'm determined to keep my body, at least at the age that it is, to be functional and to be able to move around. And I'm pretty good. I can almost do the splits if you want to see. Oh, my. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Can y'all do that? No. Can you do this? No. Okay, I can't move now, so. Can you do this? Ready? Can you? Okay. I was just showing off, just a little braggart there, going to hell. So again, you can't take pills to get it done. You can't work out. We all, especially for diet, we all want that magic pill, right? Take the pill, and you get all these commercials. Man, you take that pill, not only do you lose weight, but it gives you muscle strength. And, you know, that pill is amazing. And we buy that pill, and we eat that pill, and then that pill. And they finally came out about 20 years ago with a pill that worked, that I took, and it was awesome. And then they banned it. Because it worked. It's like, it's going to hurt your heart. I don't care. I'll die with a smile on my face and skinny. But just let me brag a little bit, and I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit. I'm giving the glory to Jesus because Steve Van Zandt could never do this. 2 years ago, I weighed 220 pounds, and I gave up on all the other stuff. I mean, Atkins, and I've done them all, and they do work, but they don't get in your brain. They work in your body, but they don't get in your brain. And I was like, Holy Spirit, whatever the self-control thing, well, now I'm so much getting it. So now I in that area, and I'm trying in all areas to recognize him. So now I'm at 188, but I was at 177. I don't go there now. You get it? I don't have to fear, oh, you know, I lost 27 pounds and then I gained back 18. You know, then I'd be back to the 100 pounds a year thing. You don't do that. I try to live my life in Holy Spirit control. And hopefully he'll take care of this. At least now I'm only 2 months pregnant. I was 7. Thank you very much. Yeah, so I'm like, you got twins? Shut up. Here's what I want you to see. In that working out, there's pain and there's that feeling of not getting anywhere. You've been there? Holy smoke, man. You work out hard and you see no results and you feel like you're not getting anywhere. And then all of a sudden, as you stick to it, you begin to see that it happens. And let me tell you something else that will be a testimony in this. My best friend is my age too, bigger than me, big guy, in Georgia, thank you. And he just called me the other day and he said, "You have finally motivated me." Well, I know it wasn't me motivating him. I know it was the Holy Spirit that was doing this in me. So now he's going to the gym 5 times a week. And my first thing to him to encourage him was, "You better stick with it, big boy." That was my way of being encouraging for him. Because it really is about health. You know, he's got 2 replaced knees. The bottom line is, as we walk with Holy Spirit as our self-control, you never get it down perfect. You're going to skip a day or two at the gym. You know what I'm saying? You're going to go ahead, as I have. You know, I'm doing really good eating and stuff. Well, you know, I really like Burger Box. Burger Box is probably my favorite burger in this area, including Griff's. And just so you know, I'm just telling you, I like Burger Box better than I like Griff's. And so, you know, but therein lies the problem. You do that, and then the next day you're like, "Well, I could probably do that again." But see, that's not when you kill yourself and say, "Oh my God, you can't do that. You've got to be controlled." No, you just go, "Holy Spirit, man, make a salad that tastes like a burger." Something. I've even thought about it, you know, because I do shakes. As I'm paying attention to the Holy Spirit, and as I might gain a few pounds or whatever, I that's one way I know. I mean, this is very practical, but I know. But the other day I'm like, "Think I could put a burger in that shake? You know, and just, at least it's a shake. I wouldn't be chewing it, just be drinking it." I got no answer, so that was my answer. You ever had one of those from not just God, from anybody? "Honey, would you like that?" And they just look at you. All right, I'm close. Sorry. So here's what I wrote down. How do I do this exercise to be godly and holy? And see, it's not godly and holy. It's godly and holy and loving and caring for every single person around you. That's really all it is, though that's very difficult. So how do I do that? How do I train? How do I restrain from what I'm doing and replace with this good stuff? This is going to sound as corny as it's going to sound, and I'm going to try to help you with it. Read the Word. Read the Word. Scripture must be in our mind to have space to work. Do you get it? It's got to be in there somewhere, even if you just read it one time. You know, the Holy Spirit will quicken to you the book, but it's got to be. There's got to be space in there. Watch this. Every religion, including Christian religion, every religion is a tribute to man's brain and man's invention. We decide and determine who God is, how he does things, how mean he is, how taskmaster he is, or whatever. But the truth of who God is incorporated in the book. It's there. Well, what makes ours different? Ours is different because ours is impossible, impossible, impossible to live without the one who produced the book. Pick any of your other religions. You got to follow his rule. He didn't follow those rules. Good night. If you look at the background of some of these guys, you get it? So, what am I saying? All of us are trying to figure out what God's like, and Scripture tells us. The Word, man, I just read this in an article. This is so cool because I'd already written this, and I read this article yesterday. The Word is an absolute. What I mean by that, it is absolute. There's absolute truth in the Word. It's something that will help us understand right from wrong, if you want to use it that way. But there was a kid on, what's the name of the Christian group? I'm playing the guitar. It's not Slayer. Skillet. Slayer is not Christian, I know. Sorry. There you go. Renew my mind, Fronio. Skillet. He's one of the lead players on Skillet. And Skillet's a Christian hard rock Christian band that most people would say he can't be a Christian. And he exposed, there's been a couple of worship pastors that have determined and decided that Jesus ain't real and they're going to do their own thing and they have a new enlightenment. And I say he exposed, he was not ugly at all. But what he said was, "Man, where are we going?" He says, I don't, he says, when it comes to people in the world, I leave them alone, but these guys are supposed to be in the church. And he presented a beautifully written, very strong worded, but very loving rebuke to these people who, and so here I'm like, okay, it's the worship pastor that's running away. And the rock dude, but he used that word absolute. The word is an absolute. That's not heavy-handed. It's truth. Everybody in life needs an absolute. If you have a job you go to, you need to know exactly what your expectations are at that job. Or you'd be. It reminds me of the story in California where they built a brand new school and they put 100 kids on the lot, and they had all the equipment on the lot. They had all the equipment, you know, the play equipment for the kids, and they let them all go outside to play. There was no fences up or nothing. They let them all go outside and play, and those kids stayed within 20 feet of that equipment because that's the only place they felt safe. Same school, same kids, put the fence up around it. Those kids played all the way to the fence. We all need an absolute, and the Bible is an absolute, and it's not absolutely mean, it's absolutely awesome, because he absolutely loves us. And he absolutely died for us because he loves us. How absolute do you need? So with that absolute, that's where life can flow out of. But you got to know the word. You got to know that the Bible says in Hebrews that he declared me righteous. I'm not righteous. It says in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, your righteousness is as filthy as rags. Well, thanks a lot, Steve. Yeah, but let's go into the New Covenant, the New Testament, where he says what Christ did on the cross. I now declare you righteous, not because of what you have done, but because of what he did. That's what you got to have in your heart. Because that's when you get when the rubber meets the road and you're aggravated or whatever and need the love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, kindness, and this self-control. Man, it becomes not simple, but it does become releasing when you. That's why Paul said in the top of the chapter, you are free in him. Paul said that from prison. He was locked up. How ironic is that? I love Apostle Paul, even though I felt sorry for him. I was reading some stuff yesterday, and I just told the Lord, I'm going to quit reading this, because he's having to, I'm just what I meant. I didn't mean it bad. It's just poor Paul. He obviously, he was a dynamic writer, obviously, but evidently he was a lousy speaker. And so what would happen, and it was in the Corinthian church, of course, it's 2 Corinthians 6-ish, 7-ish, somewhere around there. Anyway, they have just hammered about how terrible he speaks. And so he goes through this whole process of proving that he is an apostle, proving that he is the father of their faith. Anyway, it was just sad because him of all people, why would he have to prove anything? But anyway, when you read it, I'm not kidding. I just said, God, so I just jumped over to Matthew and read about Jesus because I love him and he was not carnal like us. So here I am. I said I was closing. I kind of am. So how do I train? I said that. Read the word, guys. And I said that. And I said that. By the way, the Bible's not just for a time of crisis. Just like church is not just for a time of crisis. Over the years, that's what will drive a pastor crazy, is people, when life is good, they don't come. When life gets bad, they come. I don't care about it, but I've told at least 100 over the years, dude, you should come to church when things are good, because I think you'll retain a little bit better than you're sitting there going, oh God, I need a word, and you get a word, and it makes you feel, you get what I'm saying? So come to church when it's good. So the Bible's the same way. It's not just for a time of crisis. Hide a supply in your heart. David did, and David was whacked out. But he was awesome. Here's the next scripture coming up right here. There it is. I have hidden your word in my heart, David said, that I might not sin against you. What does that mean? Does that mean you've got the Ten Commandments? No. You won't sin against him when you believe the depth of the love that he has for you. When your relationship turns into a loving relationship with him, you don't want to hurt him. You don't want to sin against him. It's like any good relationship, any good marriage relationship. You don't want to hurt your spouse. Well, looky here. We're the bride. He's the groom. I'm going to hide that word in my heart, but the parts that I have hidden in my heart, David, are the parts of how much he loves me. And how much he cares for me, and how awesome he is, and how he chose me and I didn't choose him, and like how I'm declared righteous and I'm nowhere near righteous, and how he did all that on the cross for me, and how he said to Telestai, it's finished, which means it's finished. So we start from a finished position and we move forward, and he's the second Adam. So Adam did his thing, and Adam made me mad, because when Adam did his thing, David, it hurt my feelings, because why should I have to walk in something somebody else did? He made the mistake, right? Well, Jesus, the word says, is the second Adam. So what does that mean? That means I have no right to be righteous. I can, well, how can he do that? Well, because he did. You are righteous in Christ. Ah, hold that in your heart. You get the word in your heart, so when somebody comes up and gives you, flips you a bird of air, you can smile and love them. Why? Because there's something, listen, you want to give glory to God, let it be in your life. Let people look at your life. Your life will give glory to God. Not just the words of your mouth and how great you can teach or how great you can share the gospel and how many people you can notch on your belt that I brought to the Lord. But how many people look at you and go, dude, that guy's different. I had a really great experience with the ovens. Whew. And there was what's so ironic, this never happens. Gay buzzed me in my office. She said, hey, the guy's here to deliver the ovens. You should probably come up and see him. And I just thought it was bizarre. So I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to go up and see him. So I did. And holy smoke, ended up giving them a book, telling them I wanted to come to church. One of the greatest. And they were gobsmacked, that's British. They were stunned because here's this guy, I was dressed, I actually had on sweats and stuff. But just loving them. I wasn't faking it. And I went in her office afterwards. I said, by the way, you were exactly right. That was needed and necessary. If they ever come here, I don't know. But I do know one thing. They got to see Jesus. And I'm not, that ain't bragging, baby. That's just saying they got to see Jesus because he's awesome. And as I let the Holy Spirit control me, I might keep doing stuff like that instead of getting aggravated like last night. Here, let me give you a greater example than that. Some crazy, we live in the hood, you know, nighttime especially. Some crazy's trying to open the door. Poor Sylvia, it's the second week in a row she had to come get me because the week before, this guy was stalking her. She's trying to go home. She couldn't, so I had to walk out there and chase him off. Boo, you know, and chase him off. Well, this guy last night, he decided he wants in, so he starts ripping on the doors. So aggravating. I told my wife, because I walked around the building, and I told Gay, I said, man, it's a good thing I didn't find him. And she says, she texts me back and says, self-control, because she knew that was today, self-control, ha, ha, ha. And I text her back and said, oh, let me tell you something, self-control is a whole lot more than just being aggravated. Because it is, but it's freeing to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. So, I just did that scripture. Yes, I did. Self-control is saying no to our flesh and yes to Holy Spirit. Christ in us, Holy Spirit, and watch this, the Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us, does not have a problem with overeating or anger or resentment or jealousy or addictive behavior or hatred. The Holy Spirit ain't got a problem with that. He ain't got a problem with that. Steve Enz ain't got a problem with that. So what do I do? Well, like the Apostle Paul, like I said, Romans chapter 7, he goes, man, the things that I don't want to do, I'm doing. The things that I'm doing, I don't want to do. What a wretched man that I am. And it's like, oh, God, Paul, you are killing me. Thank God. Then he goes, but thank God for Jesus. And then the next chapter, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And then it flows into this wonderful thing. I'll teach that someday. Again, if I haven't, I don't have a clue. I've taught so long, I'm probably done the same message 58 times. I don't care. Y'all don't remember anyway, so it don't matter. That's right. I'm getting to where I can hide my own Easter eggs. I'm telling you. All right, let me say this because I'm prefacing this. So the Holy Spirit doesn't struggle with any of that stuff. Here, look at this great, great, great scripture right here. Galatians 5. But I say, now this is, by the way, Galatians 5 is right up above where we're at 5, 22 and 23, right? But I say, Paul, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you won't certainly gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. I go back to what I said earlier. If you do this, you won't have time to sin. Live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled by and guided by Him. How cool is that? Okay, now this is really is my conclusion, because I have it written down right here. And then I'm really in them. I don't even have no scripture left to give you, just these words, and I'm going to read exactly how I said it. It's quite simple. We must cooperate with the Holy Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work in us. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the fruit of me. Because me would hurt people. Me would kill people. Me would have killed Donut Man, would have certainly killed the dude last night, because I'd have hunted him down. I'd have hunted him down, shot him, hung him up on the wall, and said, this is what happened to people who try to destroy our property. And just leave him up there until he stunk so bad I'd send him off to animal control. Wow. Where did that come from? So they'll be listening online, right, and they'll hear this. And then you... At least I'm honest. See, he said tell no lies, right? There you go. Woo-hoo. So watch this. It's His control coming forth and manifesting through me. It's the way that He acts and is produced from His nature. Every one of those fruits is Him. He's perfect in all of those fruits. I'm not. But again, it's His controlling, His control coming forth and manifesting through me. It's the way He acts and is produced from the Holy Spirit nature. I don't have to work up love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control. He is already all these things in me. But I have to stay in the vine. Not only does the Holy Spirit act through me to others, this is my final point. This is so importantly good to me. Not only does the Holy Spirit act through me to others, He acts in me toward me. He is always loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled with me. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit, incorporating all of them, is the way that He treats others through me, and it's the way He treats me. It don't get any gooder than that. Go ahead, Charles. It's all you, brother.
Yeah, Wood, stand to your feet, please. Stand to your So He said something in the beginning of the message, and it really leapt or jumped into my heart. He said, strength to stay in place. Strength to stay in place. And so I started running through the Rolodex of Scriptures, come across Jeremiah 17:5-10. I'll read it to you in just a sec. But guys, we, as men and women of God, as children of God, are to be like trees planted by the water. Let that sink in for a sec. The water represents Christ. The washing of the Word is what the water represents as well. Steve just alluded to it. How do we do this? Getting in the Word. Digging into the Word. The Word, the Bible, is the infallible, inerrant Word of God to us. So Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land. But verse 7, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Guys, we are to be trees planted by the water. rooted deep and grounded in Christ. Not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, not fulfilling every whim, every desire. Oh, she looks better. He looks good. I want this. I want that. Standing firm in Christ. It's out of His righteousness and not our own. Amen. God is good. God is good. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. We praise You. God, we thank You for Your word that does change our lives. Your word that is alive and active in our lives as we put it into our hearts and into our minds and begin to walk out Your word daily, Lord. I just pray for strength. God, I just pray for strength over this congregation, over their families, over their lives, to say no, to walk in Holy Spirit control. God, we praise You. You are beautiful. You are amazing. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, real quick, don't leave just yet if you can.